Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon, and thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to Live the Promise and a happy Thursday to you. Well, this is the National Day of Prayer. And the theme for this year comes from Romans 15. So that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord and Jesus Christ. This is a time for Christians to join together across ethnic, denominational, and political lines. And ask God to turn the heart of our country back to Him. There are events in every state, and I urge you to find one near you and to get involved. If you're interested in learning more about the National Day of Prayer, you can visit the website nationaldayofprayer.org. Well, in just a moment, we're going to hear my discussion with Craig Bombusek about praying over our world events. But first, if you're a regular listener to the program, you know that Pastor Saeed Abedini and his family have been on my heart. And we've actually had his wife Nagme on the program twice, advocating for her husband's release from the Iranian prison. Well, Pastor Saeed wrote a beautiful message for Easter, and we're going to hear that just to remind us all to keep our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world in prayer. This is what he said. Happy Resurrection Day. On the eve of Good Friday and Easter, I was praying from my hospital room for my fellow Christians in the world. What the Holy Spirit revealed to me in prayer was that there are many dead faiths in the midst of Christians today. That Christians all over the world are not able to fully reach their spiritual potential that has been given to them as a gift of God, so that in reaching that potential, the curtain can be removed and the glory of God revealed. Sometimes we want to experience the glory and resurrection with Jesus without experiencing death with Him. We do not realize that unless we pass through the path of death with Christ, we're not able to experience the resurrection with Christ. We want to have a good and successful marriage, career, education, and family life, which is also God's desire and plan for our life. But we forget that in order to experience the resurrection and glory of Christ, we first have to experience death with Christ and to die to ourselves and our selfish desires. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." This means that we should not do things that we like to do that God does not want us to do, and to do the things that we do not like to do, but that God wants us to do, so that He may be glorified. So in addition to spending our days and nights in doing the works of faith as described above, we should also transform our dead faith into living and active faith through the resurrection of Christ, which is an active and constructive love that is effective. In conclusion, let us resurrect our dead faith to living faith by first dying to our selfish resurrected self and experiencing the cross of Jesus Christ. Then we are able to experience the glorious resurrection with Christ. A glorious life with Christ starts only after a painful death to self with Christ. We will start with Christ. Pastor Saeed Abedini, prisoner in the darkness of Iran, but free for the kingdom and light. You know, keep this man and his family in your prayers this week, and you can find my discussion with Nagame at our website at myfaithradio.com.
And this is going to be a glorious unfolding. Just you wait and see, and you will be amazed. You've just got to believe the story.
Okay, here is my question for you. When you watch the news, are you going to get worked up like the rest of the lost world, or are you going to pray because you know you have a God in heaven who hears your prayers and moves when you pray? Well, as I said, I'm so excited to welcome back to our program Craig Bombusek, and he knows what it means to pray the news. He is a news reporter, but he's also a man of great prayer. So let me tell you about him, and we'll get him on the show. Craig Bombusek is an author, speaker, contributing writer, and former producer for CBN.com, the official website of the Christian Broadcasting Network. His books include Praying the News and Nobody Knows, the Harry T. Burleigh Story. And you can learn more about him on the web at bombusek.com. Com. Craig, I know you were talking to us from the hospital because your mother-in-law is sick, so I just want to say thank you for stepping out and taking time to join us today.
Well, Susie, thank you so much, and you and I put into practice what we're going to talk about today earlier on as we were on the phone, where you said, hey, can we go ahead and pray for your mother-in-law right now? And I was so grateful for that because I know what the scripture says, and that is if two would agree as touching anything they ask, it would be done by my Father that is in heaven. This is Jesus' promise to us as his disciples. And so that's what it's all about, is not just hearing the word of God, but being a doer of the word, putting it into practice. And when you do that, things actually change in your life, and that's what we want to talk about today.
And we can actually impact the news, can't we, by the way that we pray and taking our rightful place in prayer.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And, you know, Scripture talks about this, though. We see in the book of Acts where the disciples came into an area and their reputation preceded them. And they said, these people who turned the world upside down, they have come here also. Well, how did they do that? I mean, these were just common, everyday people, tent makers, fishermen, tax collectors, and yet they had the reputation of seeing the world turned upside down. And the reason was is that they didn't just say, oh, isn't that a nice religious idea? Yes, I can pray. You know, now I lay me down to sleep. Not that that's not a good prayer, but, you know, I can just pray these simple prayers. But instead they said, you know what? Jesus said in the book of John, John 14:12, that the things that he did, I will do. And even greater things, because he went to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit. So instead of the Holy Spirit just being on Jesus, every believer who will step out in faith on the promises of Scripture have the Holy Spirit within them. So it's multiplied, and believers around the world, if we would only say yes, I'm going to take you, Lord, at your word. I'm going to step out trusting that your Spirit is within me. I have your word. I have your promises. Then when we do that, it's amazing how things change. And so we talk, my co-author Wendy Griffith from CBN News and I talk about this in the book, and we share actual examples where people prayed for the news situations, whatever was going on, whether it be a girl that was a little child that had been abducted or some sort of a situation with a natural disaster or whatever it might be in the news. People prayed for these stories, and then dramatically, they saw the headlines literally change as a result of it. And that's what we're encouraging people to do through this book.
Oh, it's so exciting. In this book, we've got four copies to give away. So I want to invite you to call in if you've got a question for Craig. You're going to love this book because if it does anything, it's going to give, he gives stories and proof. Prayer changes things, and it is an invitation for you to stand on the wall and be someone who impacts today's events. Rather than ranting about them, getting mad about them, take your stand and see what God does. 877-933-2484. So, Craig, we love to start out our interviews talking Scripture, and I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or a verse just the Lord's been speaking to you about these days that you can share with us.
Well, I'll tell you, I really believe, and people who have been to church, who have been in Christian school or who have godly parents have heard this scripture before, but I believe it's the scripture for today and for all days, for every day, and that is from 2 Chronicles 7:14. The prophet, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, put out this challenge to believers where God said through the prophet, if my people, and so it's like an old, back when I was in grade school, we learned computers and computer language, and we had the if-then statements. If this happens, then this will happen in your computer program. Well, God did this in the scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from my wicked way. So there's the if. There's the condition. Then will I hear from heaven? Will I come down? I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. That is what this book is all about. It's a challenge to God's people to say, listen, it starts in the church. We are the light of the world. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Don't cover up your light with a basket. You are the salt of the earth. You've got to get out. Something can't be seasoned unless the salt is thrown out to that. And that's really what that scripture is saying. It's saying, if we will do what God has called us to do as his believers, as his representatives in the earth, then he will come. He will hear from heaven, and he will heal our land. But we have to step out and do our part. God wants to move. He's saying, you know, I'm ready to go. But he said, Jesus said it this way, Susie. He said, you know, the fields are ripe unto harvest, but you need to pray that the Lord would send laborers into that field. And in that scripture there in Luke, the word that Jesus uses when he speaks about being sent into the fields is actually the Greek word ekbalo, ekbalo. And that means to be violently thrust out. And that is how God wants to see the church go into the world. It's kind of like somebody who is, you know, has broken into a bar and causing trouble in the bar. That barkeeper violently throws him out the door. You know, that's a negative way of looking at it. But it's that kind of idea, to be thrown out, to be thrust out. And so God is saying, pray that those who are filled with the Spirit, who know the Word of God, those who have a zeal for God's kingdom and a compassion for the lost, would be violently thrust out into the harvest fields, because there are people out there waiting and looking and searching, and now is the time.
Indeed and amen. You know, I talk about this a lot on the show, but just my burden for the political climate in this day, where Christians are joining the rant and sounding as hateful as unbelievers. And this ought not be, even though there are things that are of definite concern. This is a cause for praying, for fasting, and I might get some emails over this, but this was just a private conversation I was having with my mentor recently when I said, there's such a polarization politically that supersedes the spiritual climate that I said, I honestly think that the climate is right for a right-wing conservative antichrist, and those who are Christians who are so mad wouldn't even spot it, because your heart has to be in a pure place to be discerning about what's going on. And
right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like we have had Ron Rhodes on several times, and he says there are antichrists in every generation waiting to rise up for that time, because scripture says there are many antichrists. And I just feel like this is a time to keep our hearts pure so we can be discerning. And so you even pray for leaders that you don't agree with, because God calls us to. I mean, what do you say to that, Craig?
Well, all you have to do is look at the first century church. I mean, the leaders in the first century church were tyrants. They were pagans. They had, for the most part, very little compassion. And yet the Apostle Paul said to pray for the leaders that God has put in place. See, this is the thing, is that a lot of times we don't give enough credit to God's sovereign ability to run the world.
That's right.
And part of the reason with that is understandable. We see suffering, and we see difficulties, and we see injustice.
Unethical leadership, sure.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But when has there not been that since the fall?
Right.
This is nothing new, and it's not God's fault. It's our fault. It's the result of man's sinfulness and the result of man's selfishness. And so the Apostle Paul said, pray that your leaders would lead wisely, so that, and he gave the reason, so that there may be peace and that the gospel may be shared and shed abroad. And so our role is to be praying that there would be peace. That's what I believe personally. This is one of my own personal interpretations, but I believe that that's one of the reasons why God says to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, so that there would be peace, so that the word of God could be shed with the people in Israel, in the Middle East, and around the world, because Israel and Jerusalem is the beacon from which everything has gone out to this day, and I believe it's going to go all the way around and come full circle back to Jerusalem. And so God has called us to be prayer warriors however he wants us to be, but in particular, as you mentioned, to pray for our leaders. Instead of speaking ill against them, instead of saying, oh, they're idiots and they're fools and this and that and the other thing, whether you agree or not, that's not the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christ is to say, Lord, you know the situation, and the scripture says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he can move it wherever he wants. And there are times where God will put someone in place for his purpose that we don't understand, we don't see, and yet God has to, I mean, you just think about how God, what God has to do to orchestrate things in our lives just to answer prayer in our lives. Well, imagine in the world as a whole. And so it's imperative for us to be praying for our leaders, so that we would have stability and peace in the world.
I appreciate that so much, Craig, because it's just something I've been thinking about. When you think of Scripture, it talks about unrighteous anger gives the devil a mighty foothold, and a root of bitterness springs up and defiles many. So I want to just talk about this for one more moment, then I want to get into just some of this content about how we can pray the news. But when you think, if you let yourself get to a place of such bitterness that you're spiritually blind and the bitterness defiles many, really, you start to think that the answer is in man. And so you want something, anything different than what you see now. Can't you just see how we are set up to be deceived if that is our mindset?
Absolutely. The scripture says that if the foundations crumble, how can the righteous be saved? And so we need to be praying that the Lord would bring stability to the world so that the word of God can go forth. You look at this throughout history, Susie, and you're a student of history. You see that in that first century, in the original church, they had the Roman roads, the roads that Rome built. They had sailing ships, and they had parchments. And they would use those means to take the gospel. And before the first generation died, they had taken the gospel all the way across Europe and all the way to India. We know from church history and tradition that Thomas took the gospel to India and died as a martyr in India. So, I mean, when there was stability, and there was relative stability in that time as Rome ruled, the gospel was able to go to the ends of the earth. We need to be praying that the same today, and imagine the quantum leap of how the gospel can go around the world with today's technology, with the internet, with our smartphones in our pocket. I mean, imagine if the Apostle Paul had a smartphone.
Yeah.
ApostlePaul.com. You know, check and get your email every day.
Absolutely.
Now is an amazing time, but you know, if the stability goes, we may not have the golden opportunity that we have today. So we have to take advantage of it, and we need to pray that the Lord would keep that door open.
So we've got to get our hearts to a place where our hope is in God and not in man, that we do care who's in leadership. We pray for who's in leadership, but our hope is in God. Will you open up the book describing where you were on 9/11? Would you mind telling that story again?
Well, it was an amazing thing. I was on my way to Chicago to join the board of directors of the Internet Evangelism Coalition. And we were actually in the air on 9/11 when all the attacks took place. So, of course, we didn't have our phones on, and we had no idea what was going on. And it's amazing that we actually made it to Chicago, because a lot of planes were, you know, told to land immediately. And we got to Chicago, and as soon as we got on the ground, we saw all of the exits had police cars with their lights on. We landed, and they told us we could turn on the cell phones, and of course everybody started saying, they've hit the World Trade Center, they've hit the Pentagon, there's still a plane missing up in the air, it's heading towards Chicago. You know, here we are sitting on the tarmac on the airport,
wow,
you know, in Chicago, thinking this is not probably the best place to be right now. But at any rate, it was an amazing day, but that was the day that changed the course of human history. But when you look at it, it really hasn't changed much since the 4th century when Islam first came on the scene. It's just that it has ramped things up in the spirit realm and in the natural to a much higher level. And so the time is short, and I believe these are just more signs of the times that Jesus is coming soon, and that now is the time. Today is the day of salvation, and today is the day that we need to be out there doing what the Lord directs each one of us to do. And that is a matter of prayer, Susie, just as you and I have talked about. God doesn't want everybody to be a Susie Larson. God doesn't want everybody to be a Billy Graham or a Pat Robertson or whoever you think is the cat's meow of Christian leadership. God wants you to be you. He designed you to be a unique person, and he wants each of us to come to him to say, what is your will, Lord? You are the master. I am the servant. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me into the vessel that you can then use for your purposes and your glory. Because as the parable of the talent said, in the end, we hope to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. What does a servant do? A servant does what the master instructs them to do, not what they read in a self-help book or what they see someone else doing, but to say, Lord, what is your will for me? And then to follow that out in obedience. And that only comes through a relationship with God and through ongoing time in prayer.
Amen. I am so glad you said that, because you right away you can imagine people thinking, what can I do? Who am I? And I want to just segue to a story from your book, from Dolores and Ken Leisner, two everyday people who walked intimately with God. I know you wrote this book a little while ago, but do you remember that story?
Oh, please. Was that one of the 9/11 ones?
Yes. They were driving in the car, and they were going away on their anniversary, and she was troubled.
Oh, my goodness. And this is what is so amazing. Jesus said this, and it is so true. He said, my sheep hear my voice, in the book of John. My sheep hear my voice. And then he said, the voice of the stranger they will not follow. And in this story, Dolores, they were going off on their anniversary, and they were ready to have this wonderful time away, but her spirit was troubled. And she kept, in her mind, kept seeing the Northeast, and specifically New York City. And she said to her husband, we've got to stop and we've got to pray. I don't know what's going on, but something is happening. There's something getting ready to happen in New York. We need to pray. And so they prayed. They prayed for all their friends in New York. They prayed for their relatives in New York. And then they went on their way. Well, I don't know if it was the next day or a couple days later, but it was very soon after that 9/11 hit. And one of their relatives worked in the World Trade Center. And on that morning, they were not able to get into work because of a traffic jam or a sick child or something like that. I don't remember. But it was something that hindered them from getting to work. If they had gotten into work, they would have been on the floor that got hit, and they would not have survived. And so we think that, isn't that an amazing coincidence? No, that is the Holy Spirit leading us. The Bible says, you will hear a voice behind you. This is in the book of Isaiah. You will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And then in Romans 8:14, it says, those who are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. Not might be led, not if you fast enough, not if you do enough religious works and climb up some steps on your knees, whatever it might be that you think is, you know, the religious thing to do. That's not what it says. It says, if you are a child of God, you hear the voice of God. You hear the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to, like the boy Samuel, if you remember from the Old Testament, Samuel was a little boy. And he was in the temple. His mother had given him to the high priest to raise him up in the temple and to use as a servant there. And one night he heard a voice, and he thought it was Eli, the high priest. So he went to Eli and said, what is it, Lord? He said, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. Three times. On the third time, Eli finally realized, I know what's going on. Next time, go back and say, here I am, Lord. Speak to me. And that was the beginning of the ministry of one of the most powerful prophets in all the scripture, Samuel, who anointed both Saul and King David. But he started not knowing that it was God's voice speaking to him. And we all start the same way, with that mustard seed of faith. But as we learn to discern, as we test it out, and as we say, I think that might be God, and then we act in faith on that, when God moves as a result of our prayer and our act of obedience, that builds our faith. And we say, that was God. I did hear him. Hmm. And the more you do that, the more your ear becomes tuned to what I call WGOD, or if you're on the West Coast, KGOD.
Love it. Love it.
KGOD on the West Coast. We can tune to God's frequency because he's talking to us all the time. It's up to us to be tuned in and to learn to discern. But the Bible says in Hebrews 5, in the book of Hebrews, it says that those who are mature have their senses exercised by reason of use to discern between good and evil. So we can do that, just like Samuel did.
Oh, that is amazing. I love it. In fact, Sue called in. She says, I'm one of those who will make themselves physically sick when I get angry at the news. Thank you so much for this topic. I'm already feeling settled down. God bless you, Sue.
Cool.
That's great. In fact, you wrote in the book, we live at a time in history when it's critical for the church to learn to be led by the Spirit in prayer. And that goes so hand in hand with what you said, that the person listening today isn't called to be me. They're not called to be you. They're called to be them. But they are a vessel. And to me, they're a wartime vessel, because this is the day we live in. And in their unique way, God is going to speak to them. And we each carry a portion of God's burden. So like Dolores and Ken, they prayed, and lives were changed as a result. And we each carry a portion of God's heart. So talk a little bit more about what it means to cultivate a listening ear as it relates to the news.
Well, you know, Scripture says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So that's part of the fruit of the Spirit that the Apostle Paul talks about in Galatians, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits that should be evident more and more in our lives as we go through the sanctification process. And, you know, I think a lot of people, Susie, don't understand that there are three parts to our growing up in the Lord. There's first, there is the justification, where we're justified by faith, and our spirit becomes alive by God through that faith in Christ, and that's our salvation experience. But then there's the sanctification, which is the next step. That's our life, and we walk through that until we die, until we either die or Jesus comes back, and that will be that third point, and that is glorification.
Mm.
So for Sue, who's
I got to jump in. We got a hard break. I want to continue.
Right.
We'll be right back talking to Craig Von Busek. Do not go away. We'll be right back. Just got to believe the story is so far from over. So hang on to every promise God has made to us. Pray and watch, because you're going to be amazed when you see how it all ends up. Craig Von Busek is my guest today. His book, I love this book, and I'm telling you, we've got a few copies to give away. It's called Praying the News. Your prayers are more powerful than you know. Got a few copies. Maybe you've got a question you want to chime in. So glad to hear from Sue. Let's hear from you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Craig, I almost never miss my break. I was so engaged with what you were saying, I wasn't watching the clock.
Well, my bad. I should have said, hey, that's music playing. I need to shut up.
Oh, my goodness. I was just like, keep going. And then my producer's waving his hands going, hello. Sorry about that. So I want to make sure you back up. Okay, so you talked about salvation, and then you started to touch on sanctification in this process. So pick it up from there.
Yeah, just jumping off what Sue said about, you know, she sometimes gets angry watching the news, and that's understandable. I mean, that's a natural response. But the Lord wants us to grow into this place in the sanctification process. You know, justification is when we're born again. Our spirit is born again, but our mind needs to be renewed. We need to grow up into Christ. And so our whole life is this whole sanctification process. The Bible says from faith to faith, strength to strength, victory to victory, ever-increasing faith. The light of the just shines brighter and brighter until full day. That's sanctification, where we grow to get to the place where, yes, we walk in love and joy and peace. And instead of being angry, we say, you know what? There but for the grace of God go I. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't have the Lord in my life, I might be just like that person. So instead of getting angry, we extend compassion. You know, my wife has said this to me. Here's a weakness. It's confession time, okay? I talk to people who do dumb things on the road in front of me.
Oh, I do that too.
Like, what? You know, it's time to go to the eye doctor. What are you doing? And my wife said, you know, you don't know what they're going through today.
And she's
right. You know, they may have somebody who's sick. They may have had just got laid off from their job. You don't know what's going on. And, you know, it really struck me, because as we mentioned earlier, my mother-in-law has been in the hospital, and it's been very stressful. We've spent a lot of time here at the hospital. And I was driving, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I feel like I'm in a haze, because you're so caught up in what's going on in your emotional state that you don't always make the best choices on
so
the highway.
Yeah.
And it really hit me, and it reminded me of what my wife said. She said, you know, instead of getting angry, why don't you pray for them? And I said, you know, you're absolutely right. And that's the wonderful thing, and that's what we're encouraging people to do in this book, is to use the news as your daily prayer card to say, okay, what's happening in the news? How can I pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in these situations? And, Lord, you open their eyes so that they can see you and they can walk in your peace, joy, and love, just like you've led me into as well.
Indeed. In fact, here's another great excerpt from your book. Though churches were filled to capacity in those first days after 9-1-1, it wasn't long before the people turned back to their normal routines and church was forgotten. But the danger in our world remains. The threat of terrorism is just as real today as it was in 2001. Never before has faith-filled prayer by God's people been more needed. Today, he gives you this charge and promise. Be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. I want you to talk about the authority we have as we walk righteously before the Lord and we take our stand as people who've been redeemed. Talk about the authority we have in prayer to impact what's going on in the world today.
Well, C.S. Lewis said that we are God's co-laborers in the earth. And that's something that people really need to learn as they grow in the Lord, is that it's not just God doing what he's doing, but he's wanting us to work with him hand in hand. This all goes back to the Garden of Eden. The very first covenant that God ever made with man is the Edenic covenant, the very first covenant in Genesis chapter 1, where he spoke, the Trinity spoke within himself and said, let us make man in our image and let us give them dominion on the earth. Now, that covenant has never been rescinded. So it doesn't matter whether you're a believer or not a believer, every person who breathes air and lives in what we call an earth suit has a certain amount of delegated authority from God on the earth. That's why you can teach your dog to sit, and your dog will sit. The dog doesn't teach you to sit. You teach the dog to sit because you are made in the image of God, and you have his authority in the earth. That's just a very simplistic example, but we could go into all kinds of details. Well, fast forward to Jesus coming, who was, the Apostle Paul called him the last Adam. Adam was in the garden, and then Jesus was like unto Adam in that he was the Son of God. He came forth from God, but he also was God. In difference to Adam, he was God, but he was also all man. And so the disciples said to him, Jesus, how do we pray? What should we do? And Jesus said, pray this way. First, give glory to God. Hallowed be thy name. And then he said this, pray, your kingdom come. Well, let's break that down. Your being God, king, God is king. What does that suffix mean, D-O-M? It's the same word that God used in Genesis chapter 1, dominion. So when you pray, your kingdom come, you're saying, may the dominion of the king come in my life. And then Jesus, being an excellent Hebrew rabbi, Jewish rabbi, he repeated the same concept using different words. And you see that throughout the Proverbs, you see that throughout the Psalms, where the Hebrew way of teaching is to teach a concept and then repeat it using different words. So then he said, pray not only your kingdom come, but pray your will be done. It's the same concept, just using different words. Going back to the original intention of God in the garden, what did God do? He came and walked with Adam in the cool of the day. He had a relationship with Adam and Eve. And then he said, now I want you to do some things. I want you to name the animals. I want you to tend the garden. So what was that all about? That was relationship on one side and then delegated authority to do work, the work of God, on the other side. And so that is what his intention was all the time. And so Jesus was just reiterating what God's plan was. And then we see throughout Scripture, and especially in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we see some amazing examples that the Apostle Paul said. He said, you as a believer are called to be God's ambassador in the earth. Well, what is that metaphor all about? An ambassador does what? An ambassador represents the government in a foreign land with the full authority of that government. And then he went on to say, I also say that you are God's minister of reconciliation. Why? Because God is at work reconciling sinful men to himself. That scripture right there in 2 Corinthians 5 encapsulates everything about our relationship with God. God is reconciling sinful men to himself, and he's using us as his ministers, or the same word is servant, of reconciliation. So our role is to be a reflection of God in the earth, and to say, come unto Jesus, look unto him. He was raised up, and the Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And that is our role, is to point people to Jesus so that they can be reconciled with their loving Heavenly Father.
And what a beautiful case you've just made to really, it shows us that we can't land on the one of two extremes that you often see. One, and when we watch the news, is absolute cynicism and even hatred to an extreme. Or ignorance. It's just too depressing. I put my head in the sand. We are exactly. called to take our stand, aren't we?
That's exactly right. A friend of mine, back in the 1970s, he had a Christian rock band called Clockwise up in Pennsylvania. And he had a song that is a silly 1970s song, but it is so perfect to explain what we're talking about. It was called Happy to Be the Moon. And this is what it said. We're happy to be the moon, happy to be the moon. We reflect the light in the middle of the night. We're happy to be the moon. Stop trying to be a star. You can't get very far. You can't even spar with the headlight of a car. So stop trying to be a star, because we get our light from the sun. We know that he's the only one who can send forth a light in the middle of the night. So we're happy to be the moon.
That's actually very cool. I like it.
Profound.
I'm picturing long hair and electric guitars. And
you got it. You got the picture.
That's really amazing, though, and that's what we have to remember, because to me, that is a narrow road. It's not narrow-mindedness. It's a narrow road of holy confidence and humble dependence. Like, I will never underestimate what's possible when I pray, you know? But it does matter that I guard my heart in this day when the love of most grows cold. We have to be intentional about our love not growing cold, don't we?
Well, I love how you said that, and it's a perfect setup for what was on my heart. A friend of mine shared this with me recently. He used the same metaphor of the moon, and he said, what is the moon without the sun? It's a cold, hard, ugly rock just doing nothing out in the middle of nowhere.
Hmm.
But when the sun shines off of it, we sing, oh, l'amour,
yeah.
When the moon hits your eye, and with love. See what God does? When his light reflects through us, we go from ugly and not really any purpose to being something that brings love out in the world.
Beautiful. 877-933-2484. We've got a couple copies at least left of Craig's book to give away. Maybe you want to chime into the conversation. You got a question or comment. Love to hear from you. Again, that number's 877-933-2484. We've got Pat on the line calling in from St. Paul, I believe. Pat, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Susie. Hi,
hey.
Craig.
Good to talk with you.
Yeah, St. Paul Park, but that's no big deal.
Oh, get
up. My address is right. But,
yeah.
But anyway, boy, this is really hitting me big time. I am so convicted, because this is the struggle I have. Actually, I think the evil one uses that even to try to get me to get angry when I listen too much to what's going on in the world, yes, politically or whatever. I feel this angst inside my heart, and boy, I know that I have to start praying right away. And my husband said the same thing. He said, you know, it starts affecting me because you're my wife and we're in this house and I can see what happens, and then you bring it to me. And he says, you know, this can be used not for good. We need to pray it away right away, or it really gets a stronghold in me. I'm just saying personally for me. And boy, this is really hitting me right where I need it. God bless you for being on, Craig. Oh, it's just really blessed me today.
Wow.
Well, that's wonderful, Pat. Thank you so much. You know, it really speaks to the whole issue of unity. We mentioned earlier that scripture that said if people would be united in Christ and pray in a united way, that God would move on their behalf. Well, we look back where all that originated on the negative side was in the Tower of Babel, where they were united against God, and God came down and divided them through their languages. But then in Christ, he wants to reunite us under the proper purpose and in the proper way through love and through the unity of the Holy Spirit. That's the exciting and wonderful thing on the positive side of what Pat is saying, is that when we respond in love, when we respond in compassion by the leading of the Holy Spirit, just think of what happens when Christians, believers in faith around the world, pray for the same news item. Talk about the prayer of faith doing amazing things. All of a sudden, you go from just a handful of people praying to tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people all praying in unity for that one thing. Well, it's just like lasers. you know, when they want to take something out with a laser, they don't just shoot one laser. They send several lasers together, and it's where the lasers come together where it starts to burn out that impurity.
Mm.
And that's what happens when believers pray in faith, according to the Word of God and by the leading of the Holy Spirit, is all the lasers of our prayers join together, and that thing burns away, and God's purposes are established.
So good. And, Pat, you know what? You speak for so many of us. I mean, all of us, especially if you care about your country, you care about righteousness, and you gaze too long at the news, you are going to get stirred up. And I just know for me, the Lord really spoke to me about glancing at the news, gazing at Him, because we magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt
Amen.
His name together. And what happens with the news is it magnifies what's going on that's often, most times, wrong in the world. And I don't know about you, I'm sure this is probably true for you too, Craig, but, you know, I want to stay informed, but to the degree that it diminishes my faith, I don't have the grace to take in, you know, when I know, you know what I mean? I know when I have had my limits. And,
right.
And I really love just asking God, what's on your heart today? And He may say, pray for the military or for the persecuted. Or I'll even ask Him, what makes you glad today? You know, youth ministry workers, pray for them. And I like being led by the Spirit, because then I just remember that God is on His throne. And, oh, I have such a burden that our body, that the church could be mobilized to pray and not rant.
Yeah, amen, amen. There's nothing more I can add to that other than that's the key, really. And, you know, this is in no way a legalistic type of situation. We're not saying, oh, you need to, you know, three times a day watch the news and read a blog or go to your website or whatever, and you got to do this or else you're really not as good a Christian as anybody else. That's not what it is. We're saying this is one way to pray.
Yeah.
There are many ways, as you've been talking about all week long with your other guests, there are many ways to be led by the Spirit. There are many ways to hear the voice of God. There are many ways to know what to pray. This is one. And we're just encouraging people to use the news as just a way to encourage them in their prayer walk with the Lord.
You know, it's almost like if you get a picture of a round fortification, a round wall, and we each stand in our spot, so we each have a slightly different perspective. We see some of the same things, some different things. We're responsible to pray for what God gives us to pray for in that place on the wall. And so it's not about judging each other. It's about us each carrying a portion of His burden and doing what He asks. And you referenced in your book, Craig, Proverbs 24:7, do not gloat when your enemy falls. Do not let your heart rejoice. And, you know, there's such a different response from what's typical for us when you look at, again, the political climate of gloating, self-righteousness, pride, assigning motive, giddiness. But there has to be a different tone for us, even when the enemy trips up and falls, because we are a righteous people. Say a word about that.
Well, I think that in addition to finding examples and teaching from the Scripture, I think it's good to study the lives of people of wisdom throughout history. And one of the people that I think is one of our shining examples of wisdom is Abraham Lincoln. During the darkest day, I would say the darkest day of our country's history, darkest days, he purposely brought together his political enemies to be his counselors. And there's an excellent book by Doris Kearns Goodwin called Team of Rivals that talks about this. But he brought these people together and said, listen, we're all Americans. We all have a heart to see our country healed and to win this war and to eradicate slavery. Let's come together in unity and bring the best ideas forward and let them rise to the top. Well, that's wisdom. And if we would walk in the same way, instead of fighting against each other and pulling people down and degrading them and speaking death with your mouth, to say, okay, how can we come together on common ground, and how can we encourage one another, and how can we love one another in tangible ways? Well, prayer is one of the best ways to do that. There are very few people, you know, I'll say to somebody who's, I don't know, a stranger, and they start to share with me a problem. I have no idea what their political background is. I have no idea what their religious background is. I'll just say, can I pray with you? I've never had anyone say no, never, never once.
Wow.
And they all seem to say, wow, that's really amazing that you would say that, and they feel blessed by it. Well, that's the way that we need to approach these things. Instead of attacking, say, how can I serve and how can I be a light in this situation and share the love of Jesus, who poured out His love on the cross for all of these people.
Yes, while we were yet sinners. And as you say, there but for the grace of God go I. And they might be blind there. We might be blind in another area, but we walk in humble faith and love. And, you know, I've been thinking so much about the end times because, of course, Jesus' return is nearer now than it's ever been before. We don't know when he's coming, but it's near. And to be alert to the days. And one of the, with scripture about referring to the end times is when the resistance is taken off the earth, that evil will reign and prevail. And I've done a little bit of study, and you can sure chime in, and you probably obviously know more than I do in this, but what I understand, most biblical scholars believe that the resistance is the church, that a few believe it's the government, but others dispute that because government can't legislate holiness, and that really the pushback of evil is the presence of the body of Christ on the earth today. So let's just go with that argument as if that's true. You think about what isn't happening on this earth because of praying people, but then you think about what is happening because people aren't praying. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, right. Let's just talk a minute about that, of what is possible if we would all take our place on the wall and say, may your kingdom come, and God foil the plans of the wicked, protect the weak and the vulnerable and the poor. I mean, give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I think that that is what the scripture says in Isaiah when it talks about what true religion is. True religion, what shows tangibly the most effect is taking care of widows and orphans and those in need. And I think about today, one of the glaring injustices in the world today is human trafficking. And there are more slaves today than there were during the Civil War in the world. And we don't understand that. We don't want to see that. We want to go to a movie. We want to look at our website. We want to read our book. We want to go to the mall. And yet, in that mall, there might be kids that tomorrow are going to be kidnapped and taken to Indonesia or to Thailand to become sex slaves until they die. This isn't for pretend. This is for real. We just saw this in Cleveland, Ohio, when these three young ladies were able to escape after how many years with this guy holding them as sex slaves? I mean, Cleveland, Ohio.
Right.
And so this is happening in every big city today. And we as the church, I believe our role is to do two things, pray on the one hand and act on the other hand. That we need to, you know, Scripture says to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I think that the harmless as doves part is to humble ourselves before the Lord and say, only you can change this. But then the wise as serpents part is to be educated and to not have our head in the sand, to recognize what's going on in the earth today, and to do something about it. Not just to talk about it, to do something about it, to get involved. I mean, if that means being involved in your local food shelter, if that means doing something on Thanksgiving with the food pantry or whatever it may be, if that means volunteering at a local crisis pregnancy center, whatever it may mean for you, or starting a website, or starting a magazine, or starting a church, whatever level that God has you on, take God's word to heart, that he wants you to not only be a hearer of the word, but to be a doer of the word. And all of that is undergirded by prayer, because you can't just do. You have to do after you spend that time with the Lord in prayer, covering all these things in prayer, because that is your shield that protects you against the enemy's arrows. And he will come against you if you're doing things in the earth, but we can stand strong and trust that the Lord will protect us and will lead and guide our steps, because that's his promise.
So good, Craig. And something, again, I've said 1,000 times on this show, but one of my things is, if we could get every believer to sincerely pray every single day, and I'm not making this a formula, I'm making this just a sincere prayer, but Father God, put a firewall between the wicked and the weak. Put a firewall between the wicked and the vulnerable. You know, foil the plans of the enemy. Protect the unsuspecting. We've done some advocacy work with human trafficking with International Justice Mission, and traveled to Guatemala, and we got to meet with government officials and learned again and again that the worst crimes are perpetrated against the poor. One is because they don't have an advocate, but two, they don't even know that there's laws to protect them because they're so far removed from a system that can. And so for us as Christians to be praying, protect the vulnerable. And I think of the elderly, even in our society, you know, they're so dismissed, and to be asking God, protect them. That is a doer of the word, isn't it? I mean, that's a step you can take.
Absolutely. And you know, I mean, when you read the Gospels and the book of Acts, you see again and again where they said, take care of the poor, take care of those in need, take care, you know, make sure that the widows are taken care of. So this is nothing that shouldn't be commonplace among believers. And so we need to check our hearts because, I mean, all of us get busy and we're pursuing things that might be good, but are they best? And only by spending time with the Lord and saying, what is your will for my life? And then listening, taking time to be quiet before the Lord and say, what is your plan? You know, he might want you to take a new turn in your life. It might be time to close one door and enter into a new door. But only by prayer and fasting and getting away in a quiet place with the Lord can you hear the voice of the Master speaking to you. But that's what each one of us need to do. And, boy, it's an exciting adventure. You know, like the old Stephen Curtis Chapman song, this is the great adventure.
Yes, indeed.
And it really is when you walk in the Spirit.
Mm. Well, I have one more question before we wrap up in prayer. But first I have to read a note that came in. We've got a listener listening in from Hungary. Says, Dear Mrs. Susie and Craig, thank you for your very instructive interview. I can get a clear view about this issue, and it's confirmed what I've believed. God bless you. And
awesome.
Thank you for listening in. Oh, that's amazing. Well, before we pray, Craig, and when you hear the music go out, if you would hang on after the show, I just have a quick question for you, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
But my last question is, you know, let's talk about magnify. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. You even addressed this in your book about worship. And I know we have so many listeners who listen to the news to the point where they're almost depressed. Talk about worship and how important that is in keeping perspective and even in our prayers.
Well, it's all about relationship. You know, everything that we do has to flow out of relationship. The doing comes as a result of the being in Christ. You know, walking in that cool of the day relationship with the Lord, that's the cup. The doing is the overflow. And it's putting the first commandment first and then the second commandment second in proper place. And a lot of times in our zeal, we get those mixed up, and that's where we fall into error. That's where we get burned out, is when we say, okay, loving my neighbor comes before loving the Lord.
Mm.
But Jesus said there in the book of John, John chapter 8, he said that I am the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me, then you will bear much fruit and glorify the Father. So the abiding, the relationship, the prayer, that comes first. Everything else is in obedience to what he speaks to you
in that,
that
time. That's right.
And that's where the fruit comes.
Oh, I love it. That's where you get your marching orders. So good. Craig, I can't tell you how much appreciate your heart and your wisdom and for spending time with us, even though your precious mother-in-law is in the hospital. In fact, normally we ask our guests to pray, but how about we pray for you just as you're there? So you listening today, will you join me in agreement as we pray for Craig's mother-in-law, Carol? Father in heaven, we thank you for Craig and the gift of God in him. And we all lift our hands up together on behalf of Carol. We ask you, God, for a miracle. Would you heal her? Heal her mind, body, and spirit. Do a miracle in her life. And I pray even now as we speak that peace that passes understanding would flood her whole being, Lord Jesus. And bless Craig's wife as she sits by her mom's bedside. We ask you, God, intervene in the way that only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and you can find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com, along with the music and the scriptures referenced throughout the hour. You can also find podcasts from Faith Radio Mornings, Connecting Faith, and Everyday Relationships. Even our weekend programs are there as well. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.